Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This Hello and welcome to...
Oh, shit, sorry. The suspense is killing me. Just start the fuck.
Hello and welcome to Loose Units, Loose Ends, the weekly podcast that we created to help keep you company during the quarantine period. I'm Paul Verhoeven, that's John Verhoeven, and Dad, last week you promised a really spooky story.
I did. And to set the atmosphere for you, because you don't know... what I'm about to say, do you?
No.
Prior.
No, I do. I mean, the thing is, I do know loosely what you're going to say. It's the specifics, right? Like, if we say we're going to Disneyland and you say, okay, I'll get us there, don't ask me how I'm going to get there, and we plow through 15 cornfields, we technically got there, but it was up to you how we got there.
True. Yep. Well, look, I'm home alone today.
Ooh.
Yep. Christine's working.
Okay.
2 days out of five. She goes into her office, into her very stressful job. Mm. Did you just say the breadwinner?
Just to get a rise out of it.
Mate, that is offensive. Because I do go to the baker's occasionally.
Right, but you pay for the bread, presumably. You don't enter some sort of raffle.
No. But anyway, look back to what we were talking about.
Spooks.
I'm going to tell a bit of a creepy story now. But what I've done, the reason I said to you and the listeners that I am by myself is that I've actually closed all the blinds. They're actually shutters.
Right.
Shutters are great because they block out a lot of the light.
Yeah.
And I've closed all the windows. I've sealed them, not with tape, like electrical tape.
Sure.
But I've sort of wound them pretty tight.
Mm-hmm.
And I have created an atmosphere of semi-horror in our little place here.
So,
does that sound weird?
Well, yeah. I mean,
semi-horror. I'm overstating things. I've dimmed the lights.
Right. Okay. So you just tried to give it a bit of a, you know,
some atmosphere,
creepy ambience. Yeah. Okay.
Not so much creepy, but everyone knows, as a lot of people know, we are we've been doing this for a long time, haven't we?
We have. Yes.
And I love it. I look forward immensely to our interaction over the airwaves, at least once a week and now twice a week.
Yeah.
And I really hope that our listeners are enjoying themselves, enjoying the ride, and we're going to be coming into a whole new season soon, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Dad, what are the things would you consider adding to your spooky ambience to kind of, you know, make it a bit creepier? Do you have any like plastic skeletons or spooky sounds or anything?
Well, looking around the apartment.
Yeah.
I could put my rucksack over my head.
Sure.
But that'd be somewhat muffled.
That would affect the acoustics, yeah.
It would, so I won't do that.
You know what I could do is I could, because I edit this and I'm the kind of the audio engineer, I could put some spooky sounds in occasionally if you'd like.
You could. For some of the listeners that follow me on Instagram, we have a rhinoceros.
Uh-huh.
That is made of some resin.
Yep.
I'm looking at the rhino right now. And that'd be weird if that rhino came to life, for example.
Oh no, here it is now. Oh!
That'd be weird. But to get back on track, because as the listeners know, I do like to stay on topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having coffee with a mate of mine who was pretty high up in the New South Wales Fire Brigades. He's a lovely guy.
Yeah.
We coffee together 5 mornings a week after my soft sand run and ocean swim.
Yes, yes.
He tells me this story 2 weeks ago. And I'm just sitting there having a coffee. Now, I think we touched on this in the last episode.
Yes, you did. You
a bit of a prequel. I teased it. And he tells me this story, and it's kind of somewhat of a segue into not so much the funeral industry, but I think we're going to do something on something else soon, are we? Like in following up prior to finishing this season? Are we allowed to talk about that? Or is that another surprise?
Leave that.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's two surprises that the poor listeners will be waiting for. Well, not poor in that, I mean, you know, not poor. I mean, ultimately happy. Although the topics are a bit...
You know. Shut up.
But So I'm sitting there having coffee in Manly. I shouldn't be laughing because it's a pretty depressing story.
Okay.
And I have been... You know, we trade stories. We've been doing so not since time immemorial because that's too long, but for a long time. I mean, I thought I'd heard all the stories, and he loves the podcast, funnily enough, and he's read your first book and thinks it's a cracker.
Ah, excellent.
And he was a relieving station officer.
Yeah.
And you know how I was a relieving fireman and I used to work all over Sydney. He was a station officer in the New South Wales Fire Brigades. I was a relieving firefighter.
Uh-huh.
And he went to a particular station. I'll name the station. It was Darlinghurst.
Okay.
Which is one of the busiest stations in New South Wales. It's sort of... We live really close to that fire station.
Right.
And it's just it's an exciting... amazing, sort of vibrant, busy station for lots of reasons. Do you recall the Backpackers Fire?
No, I don't.
Horrendous. Absolutely horrendous fire.
Okay.
And quite a few backpackers died.
Yeah.
And my good friend, the day he started at Darlinghurst, relieving, they'd received information that a person from, I think it was either New South Wales or Sydney University, was completing a PhD,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to do a research into post-traumatic stress disorder or syndrome, and she'd organised with the fire brigade, could she come out to a fire station to talk with firefighters about any of their experiences?
Mm-hmm.
And the brigade had said, look, Darlinghurst is a good choice.
Why do you think they said that?
Oh, because of the nature of the workload and the exposure to extreme events.
Gotcha.
It's unlikely that they would have said to her, oh, look, go to Avalon, because it would have been a bit of a fizzer.
Sure.
With the greatest of respect to the fireys at Avalon, who do an incredible job. But, you know, let's face it, the fireys at Avalon and the fireys at Darlinghurst both know that those stations are almost diametrically opposed in terms
right.
of the exposure to major incidents.
Yeah.
So my mate, he's sitting down in the mess room in the morning.
Yeah.
And all the fireys are gathered around, and there's this lady sitting there, and she begins the discussion. And they're chatting away, and she wants to find out how fireys cope with stressful things that they've seen. And they're going around the table, and they're all relating stories that were, you know, in terms of creepy or horrendous or distressing, you know, they're all fairly, I won't say mundane, but they were what you'd expect of the type of incidents and things that these fires had seen. And there were no real surprises. And she's taking notes, and every time a fiery would say, oh, you know, I'd been to a particular incident, and she'd then say, well, you know, how did you cope afterwards? And the New South Wales Fire Brigades have historically always had a chaplain, as does the police force. And these chaplains, I think they were pretty important. They held a sort of a counselling role when they'd rock up to major events, and they were of various denominations.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just there to sort of, you know, you could go and talk to them, and I think they've sort of moved, not so much moved on, but police chaplaincy and fire brigade, I'm not sure about the ambulance service or the RFS or down where you are, the CFS. Is it CFS? CFA?
CFA.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, a lot of these institutions and historically have always regarded chaplaincy as an important part of the job. And they wore uniforms. Like, the fire brigade chaplain wore a fire brigade uniform. And he was given sort of substantive rank. I think it was inspector. So anyway, the conversation's going round. And then they come to this fiery. And he's, you know, just a normal guy, and he's sitting there, and she says to him, "Oh, you know, have you ever experienced any trauma?" And he says, "Well, yes, actually, I was one of the first at the scene of the notorious and very famous Backpackers Fire. Horrendous, horrendous fire up here in King's Cross."
Right.
And he talks about how he went into the various rooms and there were these young people in their teens and early 20s, all deceased, but not burnt. They'd all asphyxiated.
Right.
And he described their faces as sort of wax-like. And for those people that have been to Madame Tussaud's...
Tussaud's.
Okay. You will appreciate that when you look at a wax figure, it does have that... that waxy kind of, funny about that. That
sort like shiny.
Shiny. Mm. Not dissimilar to someone that's been embalmed.
Okay.
But that's another story.
Yep.
And he's recounting this story, how he's looking down at these young people. And they were just sort of like mannequins lying there, and it obviously was pretty full on, and like a lot of emergency service personnel and also people in the military, at the time you're in uniform, you're doing what you've got to do, you see things, but perhaps they don't necessarily register so deeply. And the conversation's going along and everyone's sort of listening and she's taking notes. Then he says, and my friend, after what this guy said, my friend who was the officer in charge, he said the atmosphere in the room changed dramatically. And what happened was, he said 3 months after that event, he was driving in the city in a fire engine, and he pulled up at a set of lights. And all the pedestrians were walking past, and one just stared at him, and it was one of the people from the fire. One of the dead people was in the group of pedestrians walking in front of the fire engine and eyeballed him and just stared. And as they walked, their neck kept turning and turning back and back. And that's fucked. And then, months after that, you can imagine the reaction of everyone at the table. My mate, the SO, and the lady from the university and all the colleagues, just no one had heard this before. He'd never said anything.
Yeah.
And then he was at a football match, one of the big matches in one of the big Sydney stadiums, and he's enjoying the game, and then a couple of rows in front of him, this person turned and looked at him, and it was another person from the fire, another dead person at the football match, was just staring at him. How can you believe that? So that's two. And my friend, I checked with my mate this morning, and my friend said that it actually happened a third time, but we didn't need to, or we didn't go into the third time. You can just imagine that it was a similar situation.
Oh,
and
God.
Then, you know, this, the whole atmosphere was sort of... And now when I heard that story a week or two ago, I was, you know, that freaked me out. Because you see and hear about things like that in the movies, but this was a real... And then, of course, the lovely lady said, "Well, look, you know, has this? Did you seek any, or have you sought any, you know, counselling or treatment?" And he said, "No." And and there was just silence around the table. So there's a story that is pretty heavy and pretty full on, and that's an example. There are various ways of looking at that particular story.
Yeah.
You could say that, you can say, oh, God, you hate to think about it. But well, it's heavy, isn't it?
One, I mean, there's really, as far as I'm concerned, there are two explanations. One is that he was experiencing, you know, like psychological distress after having seen some terrible things.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And the second one is that he actually saw dead people.
That's right. Yeah.
Be completely honest with me. Do you think it's possible that he saw dead people?
Well, when you consider that we're going to be doing an entire season of the funeral industry, by the time we've finished that season, you can ask me that question again at the end of that. How's that sound?
That sounds really good.
Yep.
That sounds really good. When I was a kid, I was, you know, if you've read the book, you'll understand. If you've read Loose Units, you'll understand exactly what this means. But when I was a kid, I was, you know, I stumbled into Dad's old case files and I had recurring nightmares and night terrors and all my kind of psychological things either branched from that or made that worse. And one of the things that scared the crap out of me was the possibility that dead people weren't dead. And I, for one, am looking forward to kind of confronting a few of my, not phobias, but not phobias, in the next season of Loose Units. Dad, that story was really creepy. That was properly creepy.
And true, as are all the stories that anyone's ever heard. I mentioned to you that my aunt, who's quite a famous author, you know, she said to me 6 months ago, she said, oh, John, and I may have mentioned this, but I just want to say it again. Sure. That is that she said, look, you're going to start running out of stories. She said, you're going to have to start making them up. And I looked at her and I said, Franny, I said, shit, I've just used a name. I said, Franny, I said, you know, I can't make the stories up. And when they run out, they run out. But when you're taking notes, copious notes for your books, you know, and it's really important. And I love, Paul, the way you occasionally call me when you're writing these two books. And you've done it quite a few times and you fact check. I think it's really important. Paul, there was the first book, Loose Units, which was in relation to the first book, you know, how I'm heading down George Street in the Holden with the fuzzy dice and the ping of the movie playing, you know, Puberty Blues. That was just so gripping. And you sort of, you know, you ran a line down my life. And then without giving too much away with the second book, you've kind of expanded everything. So, right. Yeah, it's going to be just sort of bigger than it's kind of going to be like my story on speed. Do you think that's a fair analogy?
Yeah, it's like if you told the story to a Hollywood executive and they went away and wrote a film based on what happened. So the stories it's based on are all true, but there's, you know, in order to turn it into a really good story, there's, you know, it's my version of your events, basically.
Yeah. No, it's wonderful. I think it's really exciting, and you're a really good storyteller. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to sort of tucking into it.
To reading it, yeah. I have a question here. Yep. Well, yeah, so this is from Emma Giddens. Why do ambulances sometimes drive around with their lights flashing but no sirens?
Oh, such a good question.
She said, I always thought ambulances always had to use the siren all the time, but sometimes they don't. Not sure if this has been asked already, but I'd love to know the answer. I can't wait to read the books. Thanks, Paul.
It's a really wonderful question. And you know, the sirens are generally used to get somewhere really quickly, either to or from or to the hospital from the incident. Mm-hmm. But B, bearing in mind you've got people inside the ambulance, you know, it's not necessary to have the siren. It can cause great trauma to the person being worked on inside. You know, sometimes they don't need the siren. The light will suffice. Look, there are lots of situations that happen inside ambulances that we're not privy to. They might be doing some really, really technical, difficult work. They might need to just slow it right down and just sort of zone onto the problem at hand.
Okay.
And also, you know, they may have an escort, a police escort. And that also, for the listeners, it's also interesting to know that also police cars and fire engines, in fact, all emergency services, at least when I was in both those jobs, that there were certain places that you were told that you were not supposed to use the siren. And one of them is a place of worship.
Right, okay.
And also hospitals. You know, it's not cool unless it's really, really necessary. But, you know, if you're in an emergency service vehicle heading to some job and you're heading past a hospital, for example, you know, if you can, it might be nice to turn the siren off and keep the lights going. There's a bit of discretion. It's not necessary to have your siren on, correct me if I'm wrong, at 3 a.m. when there's not another car on the road.
Yeah, okay.
Because the siren is there to warn other cars to get out of the way.
Right.
And we used to have the massive massive air horns on the big fire engines, on the super pumpers. I was taught very, very early on in the job that when you pull down on that big cord and these incredible air horns let go, what you're actually doing was saying, get out of the fucking way.
Right.
When you pull down on the horn.
Did you ever whack on the sirens just for fun? Just to
never.
Get places quicker? No? Never?
No, never.
That's good.
I had a really, really nice message this morning, and this guy works in the Pilbara.
Yep.
And his name is Mick, and he drives a road train and big graders and, like, incredible heavy-duty. It's the big league. Like, road trains are stupendous.
Yep.
He said, I work in the northern goldfields of Western Australia. I listened to the book in the grader whilst grading the roads to the mine for the trucks. Religiously listen to the podcast as soon as they come up on Spotify. You two make me laugh. He sent me a few snaps of some of the gear. I just said, those photos are unreal, Mick. I'll give you a shout out in the Friday episode. Fuck, I love big machines. Awesome and thanks. And then he wrote, thanks, mate. Say g'day to Christine and Paul. And he sent me a few snaps that are not for press, he explained.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what, you know, we've got listeners everywhere.
We do. We really do. We've got listeners all over the world, actually. And we actually got an update from our fireman friend over in Scotland saying that his you know, his job's going well.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So everything's coming up hunky-dory. And obviously, we have something pretty special planned over the coming weeks that we can't talk about in terms of the podcast.
Yep.
So, you know, make sure you keep your ears peeled for that. I keep using that expression. It sounds very painful.
Ears peeled.
Keeping your ears peeled. It's not even a real expression, is it?
That reminds me of when I used to go to the odd post-mortem, when they'd use a scalpel. I don't know whether they still do this, but they would cut from one ear to the other, but from behind. So they'd cut the back, if you can imagine, sort of a semicircle. Yeah. Then they'd get their fingers underneath the skin and they'd pull the skin away from the skull and they'd actually fold. And so the hair was on the inside and they'd clip the fold, your entire skull, underneath your chin. Can you imagine what that looked like? So you couldn't see the face of the deceased. Oh, God, that's bad. And then they'd use this special drill and they'd remove the top of the skull and use some implement, because there'd be a fair bit of suction from underneath, and they'd kind of pop it off. Looked like a skull cap, like the Pope's hat.
Oh.
And they'd pop it off and, hey, presto, there's the brain. And then they'd remove the brain. And I remember standing, I was actually called to the back to look down, and you could just see this massive black hole. And that was the beginning of everything that travels down the spine. All the nerves. How good's that?
I don't know if good's the word I'd use.
I was doing a job a few days ago for a particular medical organisation that shall remain nameless, but they had some 1950s medical books and they had one on hand surgery. And I'm in the middle of this pretty intense hanging job because, shit, not people, but for those people that you know, I hang pictures. And I couldn't resist it. And I opened up the book and it was so messed up for me. But it made me realize how incredibly complex the hand is. And I've heard it said, and people may or may not agree with this, but I've heard that the hand is second only in terms of complexity to the brain. How's that?
That's just fine.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, boy. Well, listen, everyone, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Loose Ends. Dad and I are going to take a well-earned break over the weekend, and we'll be back first thing next week. Dad, anything else you want to say before we bump out? Any other gross stuff you want to kind of lay at people's feet?
Look, there are lots of things I could, but I won't, because I'm just the imagery of that hand, because they had a lot of post-mortem photos in the books.
Sure.
Did I ever tell you the story that my good friend in Armidale, when I was about seven... His mum was a nurse, and when the parents used to go out, I'm sure I mentioned this, we used to sneak a look at some of her medical books. No. I think I mentioned it to you once. And as a seven-year-old, I was so fascinated with anatomy and some of the photographs, one in particular. It's I can't get the image out of my mind. Do you want to know what the image is? I'm quite sure I've told the listeners, but I'll tell you again because it's just okay. Was a person lying on their side, and I remember... oh, God, it's so... But it's this... kind of it's a fascination with all things medical, and I as a seven-year-old we found this book so interesting, but one image I found so it's just so etched in my mind I can picture it to this very day. It's a black and white photograph, person on their side, in the nude, naked, and they had this thing sticking out of their ass, and I thought it was God, what's that? Shit. I'm so traumatized, I can't think of the vegetable that I thought was sticking out of their ass. It was a... God. I thought it was a capsicum.
You know what? This call has to finish. We're done. We're done.
I thought it was a capsicum.
Dad, we're done. Seriously, we're done.
And it turned out Dad, to be something else.
Dad,
we'll leave that up. We'll leave that to the listeners. Paul, it's been a wonderful session, and I thank you for your time, as usual. I've enjoyed your company, and I look forward to seeing and chatting with everyone next week.
Love you, Dad. See you soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.